Bibles, turn to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. And we're going to go ahead and read the first 12 verses, and then we will go ahead and move on down and read verse number 23. Job chapter 3. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read and then you read. We'll read responsively. Job chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and then verse number 23. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, in the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let the blackness of the day terrify it. For that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come unto the number of the months. Lo, let the night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. It shut not up the doors of thy mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from thine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? Let's move right on down, read verse number 23 together. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? Heavenly Father, we love you, God. We ask you to be with us in a special way this morning. I pray, God, that you'd encourage us this morning. I pray, God, you'd encourage every heart. Pray, God, that you would bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of my message is just one simple word, why. Why? You know, Job, I know, is a very familiar looking around. Those who know their Bible at all probably know the story of Job quite well. And in this passage, we find Job, he's lamenting, he's hurting, he's grieving. As a matter of fact, he says in Job chapter 15, I think it is, I will leave off my heaviness. Whenever someone in the Bible talks about heaviness, David many times talked about a heavy heart and so forth, it's really a sort of depression, okay? Even great men of God, even great Christians can go ahead and go through a depression. And, you know, reading this particular chapter, you see that Job, he was not on top side of things. He was not, he just didn't get up out of bed and just, jump to both feet with a smile on, if you will. He was grieving. He was lamenting. He was frustrated, perhaps even over his problems. You know, he had lost everything. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. Now, as we see four different times in this chapter, we see him asking that little question, why? Why? Before, we get too hard on him, you probably have asked the same question. You know, I know I have. I'll go ahead and stand in honesty here. I've gone ahead and I've asked why this or why that. And let me just say this. May I remind you that Jesus Christ asked why? On the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with asking God why, because I do believe that in the why moments of life, He will go ahead and he's gonna prove himself to you. He's gonna go ahead and see you through. And it's probably in that why moment of life that he's trying to show you something. And it might be that we put ourselves in that why moment because of maybe some bad decision making or something, and some non-biblically based decisions. That, get away from the Bible and making your decisions. You know what? It can create quite a mess in your life. But nonetheless, no matter what, whether we're there because maybe God is trying to show us something, whether we're there on our own fault or what have you, you know what? God will still watch over you. God will still help you. And we all have the why moments. Some of you ladies will say, why does a mall have to close every night at 9 o'clock? You know what I'm talking about. I'm glad it closed at 9 o'clock, amen? But we guys, okay, why did the Pats lose the Super Bowl? Amen. Come on now. But you know what? You get to more serious why questions than that. You know, a few years back before I came here, you know, facing a mom, a good, faithful family in my church, and one of their boys, a 17-year-old boy, grew up in my youth group and so forth. Very promising future, called to preach, wanted to go out to Bible college, you know, go on to be a youth pastor and so forth. That same boy sat in my office and said, "Brother Sean," all my teenagers called me Brother Sean. "Brother Sean, I want to be just like you. I want to be a youth pastor." And he was called of God. I didn't call him. His mama didn't call him. His daddy didn't call him. But he was called of God. He was killed in December of 2005, I think it was, what have you. He was killed in a car accident, and I was rushed to the hospital. I went down to the hospital, and she says, she said, "Pastor Weeks, can you go in there? Wake him up. He's just asleep." She was in shock. Went in. I saw the body of Ryan there, fine young man and lifeless body, and you know, I knew he wasn't going to answer me back, but why? What happened, Ryan? But I came out and, you know, questions after, why, Pastor Weeks, did this happen? You go to a grieving mom like that, you know, lost your boy in a car accident. Boy, promising future for God. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to my son? Why stage 3 cancer? I think of another young lady went through my youth group, found out that she had colon cancer just recently. She's out in Indiana, and I went to Bible college. Her husband went through Bible college and so forth, and they're living in Indiana at this time. He wants, I believe, to go onto the mission field and so forth. And grew up in my youth group, one of my bus workers on my bus, fine young lady, married well, got a couple beautiful children, if you will, and just a few weeks ago found out that she had colon cancer. At that time, it was diagnosed as stage 1. Found out yesterday that it did spread to 5 of her lymph nodes at stage 3. Why? Why does a young lady, 25 years old, somewhere around there, have colon cancer? Why does a beautiful gal, namely my wife, at 34 years of age, have stage 3 breast cancer? Very serious situation. Why did I lose my parent to death prematurely? Why did I lose my spouse? Why did I lose my health? Why did I lose my job? Why did children suffer? Why are my children suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do the wicked seem to prosper and the righteous seem to have their share of difficulty? Why the heartache? Why the pain? Why the suffering? Why the problems? You know, the whys can go on and on. Every individual has that why moment. You've had them, or you will have them, or you're just coming out of it. Why does every home have that why moment? Every church will often hit their why moment. Why moments will come to every single one of us. Back in our text, we have a great man of God. You look at chapter 1, verse 1, you can see an impeccable testimony, not a perfect testimony, impeccable testimony of Job. You know, the Bible says that he was perfect, upright, one that feared God, one that eschewed evil. He despised evil. He was a righteous man, raising his kids, very wealthy man, if you will. But you know, in the midst of his trials, we find a good, godly man asking why. 4 different times here in this chapter. 4 times. My mind would revert it back to the cross when Christ was hanging there. Why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, Job's why revolves around why he was born. I should put it that way. Sorry about that. But you know what? You find that he says, "God, why was I even born?" In verse number 3 of chapter 3, the Bible says, "Let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it said, there is a man child conceived." You know what? Why was I even born? You know, if I was going to be facing tragedy like this in the future, why was I born? I don't think in this morning, we're not going to adequately address the why question, if you will, but in the little time that we have. But we're going to go ahead and look at the life of Job just in just a brief that we have, and we're gonna find that his trials can help us in our why moments. We're gonna trek down his life a little bit and just search out some things of how we can handle our whys and how he handled his whys. So I'm gonna preach on why. You know, I don't intend to answer that question, but I do want to show that even in our why moments, that they do have a place in our life. You know, you could either take your why moment and as we will discuss momentarily, and just get bitter about it. Well, you can choose to take that why moment and let God use it. I don't know about you, but I'd just soon choose the latter. You know, I do not go around and be bitter and mad and upset and angry and frustrated and so forth. That's not the spirit of Christ. You know, Christ lives in you. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on and on. We see the fruits of the Spirit there back in Galatians chapter 5. But you know what? And we ought to be producing them even in our why moments. But you know what? God wants us to go ahead and use our why moments for His cause. But we'll see that they do have a place in our life. So give me a good hearing as I go ahead and talk about why. Let's look at the tragedies of Job's life. You know, we understand in Job chapter 1, verses 13-22, all happened in a day that he lost very much of his life. He lost his family. He lost his fortune. He was a very rich man, as I said a moment ago. He lost his health. He lost his fitness, if you will. He lost his friends. You know, to be without friends is very, very difficult, but the friends that tried to help him were physicians of no value, as Scripture says. His wife misunderstood, told him to go ahead and curse God and die. Let me just stop and say this. You know, I was probably going to bring it up later in the message, but you know what? Before we go ahead and get all upset at Job's wife, you know what? She should have never said that. I get that. But do you understand that she lost just as much as Job did? She lost her kids too. You know, and I don't think, you know, probably out of emotion. You know, once in a while we speak out of emotion, and we shouldn't. I mean, we ought to let the Holy Spirit guide our lips, obviously, but I just kind of wonder if it was just out of emotion. She was just frustrated and said, Job, curse God and die. You know, before we get too hard on her, she shouldn't have said it. And Job, you know, thank God he didn't adopt that statement in his life. Say, you know, you're right, dear. You know what? We're just going to go ahead and forget about God and just move on and do what we want to do. But you know, he lost much. You know, none of us are going to leave this life untouched or unscathed by troubles. The Bible says in Job 5, verse 7, and you ought to jot down. If you know, I'll rattle on quick. As Miss Ruth will know, I will be going very quick this morning. But Job chapter 5, verse 7, yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, it's a sure thing. You know what? We are born into trouble. We have the sin nature. We were born into sin. We're going to have pain. We're going to have suffering and so forth. Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, Scripture says it. God says it. You know, we're going to have full of trouble. We're going to have hardships. We're going to have trials. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17, this is a testimony of Solomon. I wish I had time to read that whole chapter, a lot of that chapter. Again, you know, Solomon's a very rich man. He's a rich king. Yeah, he had much wisdom as a Bible teaches. He had everything, but in verse Ecclesiastes 2:17, you ought to mark this down, underline it. In my Bible, it is underlined. He says, even though he had it all, even though he had great riches, you know, and people think that great riches, you know, that'll solve all my problems. I won't have any bills. I won't have any problems. Yeah, you know what? You probably have more problems if you have great riches. Amen. You know what? Solomon's testifying of it. He said, you know, a guy that has great riches, and then what he said in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17, therefore I hated life. It's his testimony. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous. It's grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 23, that same chapter, you know, he's testifying, for all his days are sorrows and in his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. You know what? I think it's fair to say that as you read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, that even Solomon, you know, he had a heavy heart. He was, you know, rich man, even going through a slight depression here. You know, he was even frustrated. He was grieved by the works of his hands. You know, let me ask you a question. You ever been there? You don't have to go ahead and say amen or shout out loud, yes, I've been there, I am there. But you ever been there? You ever been to the point of saying, boy, you know what, I'm so frustrated. I lost everything. I've seemed like I've lost everything. Therefore, as Solomon says, I hated life. You know, I just can't take it. You know, the Bible says, but we're going to not be unscathed by troubles in this world. In John chapter 16, verse 33, this ought to be a memory verse to us all. You ought to jot it down and make it maybe one of your life's verse. In John 16, 33, the Scripture says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In me, meaning Jesus, he might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what? In Jesus, you have peace. He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you the grace to go ahead and get through your trials. And by the way, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He is right there with you in every valley, in every mountaintop, wherever you may be. He says, he's warned it. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trials. In the world, you're going to have problems. In this sin-sick, sin-cursed world, you're going to have heartaches. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let me tell you something. You're saved this morning. You are on the winning side. Amen and amen. You may go through the financial woes. You may go through the health problems. You may go through a whole laundry list of things in your life. But let me tell you, you're a child of God, and you are on the winning side. Amen. We all have our trials. The Bible says so. You know, but your trials are going to do one or two things in your life. They're either going to, first of all, they're going to either drive you to God. By the way, that's what I would prefer you to do. Let it drive you to God. You know what? But your trial is going to do one of two things. They're either going to drive you to God. If you have an understanding that God is in full control, you could rest assured in the sure knowledge that God is in control of all that comes to pass. If you understand he's in control of your life, you could rest assured that everything that comes to pass in your life, he's still in control. He's still in control. You know what? Did it ever occur to you that nothing occurred to God? Do you understand that God doesn't get shaken or rattled at all? Do you understand that, you know, we look at the wars and rumors of wars in this life? But let me ask you a question. Is God shaken by it? No. He's still in control. He's still sovereign. He still watches over us. Hey, you know, down here we may suffer from a bad economy, but do you think that God is, yes, God cares, but you think he's rattled by it? No. You know what, we can get rattled by who gets elected into our White House. We can get rattled. I've talked to a lot of people recently that are rattled by that, and we'll discuss that a little bit more tonight about the condition of America, but the truth of the matter is, you know what, God is in control. You know, God's not rattled by a bad economy. God's not rattled by what we may call a good president or a bad president. God's not rattled at all. Yes, he does care. He watches over you. We need to go ahead and get our strength from him. We need to go ahead and allow him to go ahead and provide, but you ought to let your problems go ahead and drive you to God. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, not some things or a few things or just a couple of things, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are be called according to his purpose. Hey, they can either drive you to God or they will drive you away from God. You know, some will go ahead and react that way. You know, I've had enough. You know, someone treated me wrong, so I'm bitter. So this happened in my life. I lost my job. Why this? Why that? Why did they treat me this way? Why did this happen to my family? Why did this tragedy happen in my life? And you know what? If you're not careful, you will go ahead and react in anger, and you'll get upset, and you'll get mad at God. You'll shake your fist at God because of that why, because he did not stop that why moment from happening. They'll start blaming God. Your troubles will either make you or break you. You know what? Let me just say this. Let it go ahead and make you. Let it go ahead. God is working on, you know, he's still working on me, as the song says. You know, he's still working on me. And it might be that when I go through the trial, you know, I know that his hand is there and he's just guiding and he's leading. And it might be that he's cutting away some things to help me to become more of a strong, growing Christian or whatever. But you know what? Let it go ahead and make you. Don't let your trials go ahead and break you. Don't let your why moments keep you from being what God wants you to be. You know, God has some big things. You know, and so many people miss it because the why moments have happened too much. So God, I'm done. I'm through. I'm through with church. I'm through with preaching. I'm through with my class, my Sunday school class. I'm through with raising my kids for God. I'm through with doing right. I'm through, God. It's broken you. And therefore, you know, in the one that allows it to go ahead and break them instead of make them, they're miserable today. And if you're not miserable yet, if you said that to God and you're not miserable yet, it will come. You can rest assured, misery will come. Let your trials make you. Let it make you be a stronger Christian. Let it make you be a good testimony to others. You know, people who know what you're going through are watching you. They're watching you. You know, that heartache, whatever it may be, and how you respond to it, can go ahead and cause a reaction in them saying, you know what? Well, they went ahead and quit. It was just too much for them. Why should I serve the God that they claim to serve? You know what? It ought to be a good testimony. You know, your trial, let it be a blessing to others. Your trial, let it be a testimony to others on how big a God you serve. You know what? I wish we were always, don't get upset, but, we'd always like to be here, wouldn't we? I know I'd like to always be on the mountaintop. I know I'd like to always have, more money than month. I know I'd like to always have the car running just right all the time. I know I would like to always have food in my cupboard. I know that I would always like to feel great and healthy and strong. I know that I would like to always, have a little money in my pocket or whatever the case may be. But, let me tell you something. Allow your trials, allow your burdens to go ahead and be a testimony of how good God is. That people see Christ in you during that trial. Let it make you be a blessing to others. When people see that all the way through that trial, you didn't get bitter, you didn't get angry, you're still praising God, you're still faithful, you're still in your place, you're still serving, you're still reading your Bible, you're still praying, and then when you get through that trial, you know what? It shows them. Just like I said a moment ago, you know what? You quitting shows them that, well, God's not that big after all. But you allowing that burden to go ahead and make you be what God wants you to be, it'll be a testimony to the outside world that they serve a big God. They serve a big God. Listen to me, I've had my why moments. I still have them, and I always will until Jesus comes. And many times I can go ahead and ask why this, why that, why whatever the case may be. And you know what? Let me say this. I'll testify for a moment. In some of my why moments, I want to do what some of you feel like doing. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Been there, done that. But I thank God that either it was a kind word by a godly man or lady, or maybe that right moment in a sermon, or that touch, or that hug, or whatever the case may be, or I'm going through it, but I got to read my Bible in that moment. That moment, just about the time when you were just ready to let go, God gave you something. God gave you something to say, you know what, you can keep going. Everything's all right. You know what, we look at the tragedies of life, of Job's life. He had some tough stuff. In a period of a day, he basically lost everything. The temptations, we see the temptations of his life. When these events occurred in his life, he faced certain temptations, as we will as well. He could have gone ahead and faulted God. God, this is your fault. And I said this a moment, I don't want to take a lot of, many of our problems can be faced back to me or my or I. Simply because we didn't get the biblical counsel. We make a quick decision. That's why when you make a big decision, boy, you better know God's in it. Boy, God ought to be smack dab in the middle of that decision, no matter what it is. If it's marriage, that's a big decision, man. That's something I tell our young people, right now, whether you got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or not, or whether you wish you had one or whatever the case may be, but right now, it would do wonders in your life if you would be praying for the mate that God has for you later on. You may not know who he or she is. God does. And God, if you say, God, whoever he is, whoever she is, I want her to be godly. I want him or her to be respectful. I want them to love you. And you know what? God has that miraculous touch, if you will, to be working on his or her heart right now. You know what? It's a good idea to be praying. Marriage is a big thing. Job changes are a big thing. A move is a big thing. Brother Joe reminded me that this is 5 years. Look at what you did, okay? 5 years ago today, he reminded me. He says, happy anniversary. I go, my anniversary's in August there, bud. You missed it. He says, no, this was 5 years ago today. I came and candidated. Look at the problems you went ahead and created. But anyways, and it's not time to say amen. But anyways, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? I tell you, it was a big decision. You know what? And I just didn't go ahead and sit there while I say, you know what? I'm going to just go ahead and move my family from Calvary Baptist Church, Turner, Maine, my home state. By the way, Maine is God's country, okay? But anyways, But, you know, just figured I'd go ahead and throw that plug in. But you know what? It took a lot of prayer. In my house back in Buckfield, Maine. Yes, Buckfield, it is a town of about three people. Buckfield, Maine, and we had some woods out back. And boy, the last few weeks, spent a lot of time up there saying, God, I need your wisdom. You know, I had my family. They were younger then. I had my family, and you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was going to be as smooth as possible. You know, it's a big decision. What I'm saying is, you got to get a hold of God. What I'm saying is, you got to know God. You got to make your decisions. Make them biblically based. If you get some counsel about it, get some wisdom about it, and so forth. But oftentimes, you know what, the problems that we have in life are simply because of it's I or me, because we were too quick in our thinking, we were too quick in our decision making, or whatever, and we caused the problems, if you will. But Job could have gone ahead and faulted God. That's what Satan wanted him to do, anyways. In Job chapter 1, let me just read a verse here real quick. In Job chapter 1, verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. In Job chapter 2, verse number 5, the Bible also says, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bones. Flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan wanted him to go ahead and curse God. Satan wanted him to go ahead and fault God and blame God. And let me just say this, don't blame God. You know what, it doesn't matter why you're there, don't go ahead and blame God. You know what, you trust him. Let your trial go ahead and drive you to the cross. Let your trial go ahead and drive you to God and not away from him. He could have gone ahead and blamed himself. You know, as I said a moment ago, you go ahead and read chapter 1, the very first verse, it shows his testimony. What an impeccable testimony. He feared God. He was upright. He eschewed evil. You know, he hated evil, if you will. He was not a perfect man. He was mature. You know, and then we see that his friends blamed him. You know, one of the benefits. You know what? You know, suffering can do this to you. It'll reveal who you are. And then suffering will go ahead and reveal the character of those around you. You know, suffering will reveal who you are, whether you've got the character and the spirituality, if you will, to go ahead and stick it out and just keep on going. But suffering also goes ahead and proves the character of those around you. I'm talking about Job's friends. You know, the Bible says that they came to try to comfort him in Job chapter 2, 11. I'll just go ahead and read in verse number 11. The Bible says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, every one of them, to his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and comfort him. We'll see later on, it wasn't just mourning and comforting, that it was not. It wasn't just mourning and comforting that they gave. You know, all they did was level one attack after another at him. His friends. You know what? You ever heard this statement like that? With friends like these, who needs enemies? You know, when you really, I don't have a whole lot of time to go through their testimony on how they comforted Job this morning, but I'll just give you a little bit of overview of what they said. Eliphaz, for instance, you know, this was the man of testimonial experience. He's the one that's been there, done that. You know, no matter what you go through, this guy, Eliphaz, he's had it worse. You know anybody like that? You know, he's had it worse. You know, Eliphaz in chapter 4, that's where you would read his testimony there, tells him what, you know, he's buttering old Job up. But Job, you know, I just want you to know, and take time, you ought to read through, what a study it is of how not to be a friend when you read about these guys. But he's buttering old Job up. Job, you've been a real blessing to me. But then he continues on in Job chapter 4. He accuses Job of hypocrisy. He says, boy, man, Job, you're weak. You know, he accuses him of living wickedly. And then he's not finished. You keep reading on in Job chapter 4 into Job chapter 5. He tells Job how self-righteous he is. First of all, you know what? Where did you get off by saying, Job, that, you know, how self-righteous he is, by the way? You know, someone that, you know, I'm better than you. You know what? You know, he was saying to Job, you know what? You think you're too good and so forth. You know, where do you get off on saying that? You know, think about that. He tells him he's not accepted by God in Job 5:1. He tells him that he's getting what he deserved in Job chapter 5, verse number 13. And it seems to indicate that Job had a bad attitude. Job, you know why you're there? Because you have just a bad attitude. You know why, you know, you are afflicted with this? Because you have a bad attitude. You know, you deserve it, Job. You know, let me just stop and say this. Instead of being, you know, you ought to be part of the solution, not the problem. You know, In our church body, I know there's people that are hurting. You know, I try to, you know, I pray for them. Try to do everything we can. I mean, to be fair, you know, you try to balance yourself out to everybody. Do the very, very, very best that you can. But, you know, instead of being a problem maker, why don't you be a solution solver? You know, try to help the situation. You know, a real friend, you know, and we're going to read, study a little bit more about these guys real quick. But, you know, a real friend, you know, does not go ahead when the guy's already down. Hey, you deserved it. You deserved it. You know, stomp all over him. You know, that's not even spiritual. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You know, boy, you know what? You ought to be, you know, sometimes I know as a friend, you don't know what to say. In situations, Job, man, tragedy. Others in your life that you know may have tragedy. And sometimes instead of feeling awkward, I just don't know what to say, and in fear of saying the wrong thing, you know what? Don't say anything at all. You know, sometimes, you know what? What's all that's needed is just an I love you. You don't need to elaborate anymore, especially if you feel, you know, awkward about it. But you know what? Sometimes your presence and an I love you goes a long ways. Now, if you can say more comforting words, then great. But I know not everybody can, you know, can do that, or you know, you're just uncomfortable, you just don't know what to say. But in fear, if you think you're going to say the wrong thing, just your presence can often be enough as a friend. Just a warm handshake or a warm hug is often enough. Just an I love you and want you to know that I'm praying for you is often enough. Then we see Bildad. This is a man that I call that has traditional explanation. You know, he attacks Job by calling him a big talker. You know, Job chapter 8, I got to read this real quick. The very first, 8 verse 2. How long, this is Bildad's speech now. How long wilt thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? I got thinking about that. You know what Bildad's basically calling him? A windbag. Basically. And that's not funny. I mean, but that's, you know, you're just a talker, Job. You know, you're just blowing hot air, if you will. He attacks Job that way. He indicates that all these things happened because Job was just a bad guy. Amazing. What kind of encouragement that is, huh? Then you have Zophar in chapter 11. You read about his testimony. He was in total estimation. He tells Job he needs to repent and get right with God. Can you just see old Zophar now? I mean, he is so hyper-spiritual. Comes in. And you know what? And I can just see it now. You know, he's not really got that humility, but he just, Job, let me tell you something. You know why this happened to you? Because you need to repent and get right with God. Boy, how pharisaical that is. You know, and it wasn't sin that got Job into this, but okay, maybe sin did go ahead and get you there. It might have. But the last thing they need, listen to me. I know I'm a pastor. I can go ahead, I mean, and you know, if you're not careful, you could go and say, well, you know, I told you so. You know, you're going down that road. You know, they don't need that right then. You know, they don't need some, well, you know what, you're there because you deserved it, and you need to get right with God, and you need to get on your face before an almighty God. Yes, he probably does. But he doesn't necessarily need you to tell him so. It's the Holy Spirit's job, amen? Yes, we need to be there. Yes, we need to comfort them. Yes, we need to guide them. Yes, we need to help them. You know what, but the truth of the matter is, at that moment in time, Job did not need somebody come in and say, you need to repent. Job was just looking for somebody to encourage him. You know, then you have Elihu. He was a man of truthful expression. You know, Elihu just seems to be mad at everybody. You know, he's just talking without thinking, and you see his speech, if you will, in Job 32, and it takes him 5 chapters to go ahead and tell how great God is, how fair God is, but Elihu still does Job no good. The Bible says in Job chapter 13, verse 4, his friends were of, as physicians of no value. They were no help. They tried, but they were no help. You know, he could have been tempted to go ahead and follow God. He could have been tempted to go ahead and forsake God, saying, I've had enough of my spiritual life. I've had enough of the will of God and what he wants for me. I'm just going to leave everything God. I'm going to do my own thing. He could have had the attitude as his wife cursed God and died. You know, I understand that she went through the same thing. I think she spoke out of emotion personally. She was hurting just bad as Job was in many ways. But he didn't go ahead and adopt that attitude. Now, I've seen many react with bitterness towards the things of God that God allows in their life. Death, sickness, tragedy. They all have a power, if you let it, to go ahead and create bitterness in your heart if you don't maintain a proper perspective. That's the bottom line. You need to have a proper perspective in the situation that you're in. But it would do us all well to remember that God's purpose is not to destroy us, but to mature us. You know, you may be in that valley, not because he says, yes, I'm sicking you and you're there. No. He's trying to make you be a better Christian. He's probably trying to mature you. In Romans 8:29, the scripture says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, he may be using that trial for you to become more like Christ. You know, as I said at the beginning, it's either going to do one of two things. It's going to go ahead and push you to the Lord, or pull you away. I suggest let you draw closer to Christ. You know, you take that why moment and you just go ahead and drop it at his feet and you just talk to God about it. You know, maybe you're here today and you've already blaming God. You know, and you're here just because whatever, by duty or whatever, but you're frustrated and your heart's not in it and you're just, you know, you feel like that God has dealt you a bad hand. You know, don't let it go any further. And bring that to an altar. Say, God, I need you. Let me say this. Many times I had to come to an altar and just weep. Let me ask you a question. In your why moment, when was the last time you fell at God's feet and you just wept? God understands. Sometimes a preacher may not understand, or the deacon may not understand, or the preacher's wife, or the preacher's, or the deacon's wife, or the Sunday school teacher, they may not always totally understand. But we can direct you to the one that can. When was the last time you've taken, I mean, you know, some, I know some that, you know what, you've not dropped your burdens off to the Lord in a long time. And you know what? Because of that, it's built up, and you're just kind of just wandering around. Your mind is just aimless, if you will. You're kind of wandering around, and you're just frustrated, and you're mad, and you're getting bitter, and so forth, because you're under so much weight. And God says, just bring it to me. And you know what? And you could be in deep hurt, and you might have a lot of emotion. God can handle your frustration. God can handle the tears that you may weep at his feet. To bring it to God. You know, Job could have been tempted to go ahead and just give up on God and blame God and so forth. And then you see the testimony. What did he do? What did Job do? In Job number 1, I love these verses. In Job number 1:20, you find that he worshiped. The Bible says, then Job arose. You know, after everything happened, he lost his family, he lost his riches, he lost his health, he lost everything. And what did Job do? Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Boy, what an amazing testimony. You know what, here he is in verse number, chapter 3. He said, why? But you know what? He never blamed God. You never see a point in his life he blamed God. Yes, he was frustrated, but God was doing a work in his life. He may not have started at that time, but he says, no, I'm not going to blame God for this thing. He went ahead, he took off his mantle. He went ahead and he shaved his head and he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped God. That's what you need to do. You're in your why moment. You've had just about enough. Hey, what you need to do, you need to go ahead and fall down to the ground to an Almighty God and worship him again. You know, I sing the songs of Zion. Boy, one of the things that just encouraged me, not only the Word of God, when I'm frustrated, when I'm discouraged, I flee to the Psalms all the time. I'll flee to the Psalms, I'll read the Psalms, I'll read some Proverbs, then I'll go ahead and turn to the book of Acts for some power and so forth, some strength and so on. I'll go ahead and read through the Bible. But you know what? Let me tell you something. I'll go ahead and sing some songs of Zion, victory in Jesus, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I'm seeing. Hey, I'll go ahead and sing songs about the Lord. You know what? Before long, you'll start getting it. Before long, you'll start getting perking up a little bit. Why? Because you are in the Spirit. You are worshiping Him, and you've fallen down and you're renewing your commitment. What you need to do is renew your commitment. We don't like that word commitment. Instead of just saying why God and why yourself right out of the church and why yourself right out of the will of God and why yourself right into more discouragement, boy, you know what? The thing you ought to do is what Job did. Fall to the ground and worship Him. That's the testimony he showed right there. You know, he fell to the ground and he worshiped God. You asking why this morning, instead of rejecting, why don't you renew your commitment? Get on your knees to an almighty God and get back into His will. Then he went ahead and witnessed. Verse number 21 of chapter 1, the Bible says, you know, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's pretty tough. In the day he was living in right there, the Lord taketh, the Lord giveth, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Amazing. You know what? You need to just testify about God. You know, he's still in essence saying, God, you're good. The pain he was in physically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually at that time, the frustration, boy, seeing all the smoke billowing, everything that went on, shaves his head, takes off his mantle, bows down before God and worship Him. And then he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amazing. You know what? That's real Christianity. But we need a dose of that today. Because it seems like it doesn't matter. It could be stuff that's beyond our control, but our mind's already there. Said, it's going to come our way. The economy, whatever the case may be, it's going to come our way. If this is going to happen, we're going to go off the fiscal cliff. You know what I'm going to do after the fiscal, after we've already gone off? I'm going to get up and just read my Bible and serve God. Oh, you know, Brother Robles, you know, he alluded to it. Was it December 21st? It's the end of the world. You know, isn't it amazing that someone's out there smart enough to tell me it's the end of the world? Whatever. Don't you just feel so much better? Listen, you know what I'm going to do? Maybe Jesus will come on December 21st. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. But because no one knows the hour, Jesus doesn't even know the hour that Jesus is God, that He's coming back. You know, what I'm going to do December 22nd, I'm just going to get up and do what I'm supposed to do. You know what, Job, you know what? Blessed be the name that he didn't accuse God. We saw that. He didn't go ahead and blame God. He waited on the Lord. He didn't understand it. He didn't get it. He didn't understand why he lost it all, but you know, he kept his eyes on the Lord. The Bible says in Job 42 at the end of the book, Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Why this? Why that? Why whatever it is, your why moment is? You know what you need to do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know what you need to do when the why moment comes? Keep your eyes on God. Keep on serving. Keep on fellowshipping with God's people. Keep on being faithful to church. Keep on serving in that ministry. You know, one way to go ahead and help get your mind off your problems is help somebody else with theirs. You know, you can look at your problems, and your problems can go ahead and cause you to cease teaching that class. But you know what? Let me just say this, Sunday school teacher. Stop looking at your problems. Yes, you have them. But understand that you have the privilege and opportunity to take the unsearchable riches of Christ to a class and help them through their problems. Keep being that godly parent that you ought to be. You know, I can have my problems as a dad, but you know, get my eyes off me and sit them children down and say, this is what we're going to do. When my wife diagnosed with cancer, 2006, August 2006. I remember taking my children the day of, we got the phone call Monday, about the preacher, took them out of school, took my children, and we got a gift given to us, and people said, go shopping. So we did. We went shopping. It's the only time I enjoyed shopping, by the way. Okay, my heart was heavy, but the only time, because I had my whole family with me, we had a good time. Then after we went shopping at the main mall, of all things, hoping that thing would close by 9 o'clock, but anyways, had to be here for the beginning of the message. But we went to Olive Garden. Amen. Thank God for Olive Garden. I sat down at one of the big round tables. Tears started coming out. Told our kids what we would be facing in the year to come. Unless if God went ahead at that time, just healed and everything would be all right. But I said, listen, kids, that's what we're going to do. We're still going to serve God. My wife was over there and said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah, that's what you need to do. I don't get it, Pastor. I don't understand. Why? You know what? You just keep your eyes upon the Lord. He'll see you through it. Job, it happened to Job. We see the triumph of his life. You know, at the end of his life, we know what happened. Read the end of the story. He got twice as much. He lost it all. He got twice as much. God went ahead and blessed him. God gave him the victory. Let me tell you something. Victory is yours if you want it. You know what? You go ahead and quit, you're never going to see the victory that you could have. You know what? If you're there this morning, why? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep on serving. Keep on trusting. Instead of it drawing you away from God, let the Holy Spirit push you to Him. Get on your knees and worship Him. You know, parent, let me just say this. You be the steady one. You know, your children ought not have to be the strong ones. Amen? Not really. Now, if they are, praise God. But you know what? I had to learn 2006, you know, even though I didn't want to be the strong one, I had to be the strong one. You be the leader you ought to be. Our church has ups and downs. I need to be the leader I'd be. Our homes may have ups and downs. I need to be the parent I need to be. You know, whatever the case may be in life, you just keep on serving God, and He'll get you through it. You know what? He says in this life, you're going to face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33 was not written yet for Job, but if Job was here, and there maybe are some like Jobs here this morning, but if I could go back and look at Job face to face, and if I knew what John 16:33 was going to say, I'd say, listen, you know what? We already know that we're born into trouble. We got struggles. In this world, we're going to face heartache and so forth, but be of good cheer. I, Jesus Christ, has overcome the world. Why? You've got your why, don't you? You know what it is. I may not know, and I may know, because you've shared it with me, and I'm with you. You've got your why. But what is your why doing to your heart right now? Is your why allowing the world and the flesh and the devil to kind of get a hold and say, you know what, serving God, it wasn't really that. If you know, God really loved you, oh, that's a lie of the devil. But is it kind of pulling you away? Or has it drawn you closer? After cancer, after my wife got the, you know, by the way, she's 6 years cancer-free, glory to God, but let me tell you something. That was the biggest, I mean, I'll tell you, in our lives, that was the biggest heartache that we've ever, I mean, we've had our share of heartaches, don't misunderstand. But you know what? I just say this, we needed cancer. Because let me tell you something, my relationship with my kids and my wife are better than they ever have been. And for 5 years plus now, 6 years going on, we have a very, very close family. We can talk together, we can, you know, and they seen the same, you know, they saw the same miracle that I saw. Right now, Lord willing, she'll stay in remission forever, Lord willing. But they saw God heal her. You know what? Allow your trial to be a blessing to others. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, we thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to preach on my heart towards these people, Lord. We took a very familiar story, Job. There might be some Jobs in here this morning. They've got why questions. They're in their why moment. They could be hurting right now. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, right now, in a very special way, you go to that individual person in the midst of their why moment, and you encourage them. I pray right now you touch them.